During this Advent season, our theme is Behold the Faithfulness of God. Amid the delights and difficulties of daily life, we can always depend upon God, His faithfulness at work among us and within us. God is faithful to fulfill His promises. In preparation for the celebration of Christmas, we know that in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who came to share in our humanity in all things but sin, to deliver us from sin and death. God has fulfilled His promise of salvation, and now the offer is given for all to receive that great gift. So if the Lord has fulfilled that promise, the Lord will fulfill every promise He has made in His time and according to His ways. He's fulfilled His promise to be with us always in tangible ways, such as in the celebration of Holy Mass. And we hear the most important invitation on this side of heaven, that behold the Lamb of God, behold Him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. The celebration of Holy Mass is a foretaste of the heavenly feast of life and love that we will share with our God. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ, the bread and wine is totally transformed into His most holy body and blood, soul and divinity. We encounter the Lord in a real way, but under the appearance of what looks like bread and looks like wine. But we no longer refer to bread or wine any longer. It's the sacred body of the Lord. It's the precious blood of the Lord. And so each week we prepare to encounter the Lord in this way, preeminently in His most holy body and blood, but also He's present in the gathering of His people. He's present in the proclamation of His word. He's present, humbly I say, in the person of the priest, ordained to be configured to Christ, who is the head and shepherd, servant and spouse of the church. During this homily series, I've been looking at the different responses we are called to make as we rejoice in the faithfulness of our God. Because in the gospel readings, when behold is used, it is to tell the hearer that they need to stop and recognize what God is doing, and then to make the appropriate response. And according to this gospel reading, the appropriate response is to proclaim our purpose in life. We look at the example of St. John the Baptist in the gospel reading, and his fellow Jews come to him. He is not afraid to live a distinctive lifestyle in terms of his clothing and his diet of locusts and wild honey. And he has a bold message. He says, prepare the way of the Lord. The Messiah is coming. Make straight His paths to come into your life. And so people responded by confessing their sins. They were sorry for their sins, but they also wanted to work with God to make the right decisions in life. So people were intrigued. And some fellow Jews came and they said, well, who are you? Why are you doing these things? Are you the Christ or the Messiah? Now, in those days, some people probably thought more of a political Messiah, one who would restore the Davidic kingship in a human way, cast out the Roman Empire from the region. They asked, are you Elijah? Elijah, the prophet, never died. He was taken up to God in a fiery chariot. Elisha, his apprentice, witnessed that. And it was said that when Elijah comes back, that would herald the soon coming Messiah. So they asked John the Baptist, are you Elijah? They asked him, are you the prophet? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, as Moses was preparing to die, Moses said God would raise up another prophet like him. Eventually, we would see that Jesus fulfills that teaching. But are you the prophet, John the Baptist? It's interesting. John the Baptist could have said, you know, I'm becoming popular here, and people have these thoughts about me. And he could have pretended to be who he is not, but he was not afraid to be who he is in God and to fulfill his vocation and to talk about it. He was not afraid of it, so he said, no, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the prophet. I'm not Elijah. I'm the voice of one crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord. This is who I am, and this is what God has called me to do. And we need to do the same thing in response to our faithful God. If people do not ask us why we do the things that we do, we may want to, occasionally, we may want to ask ourselves, are we living a distinctively Christian life? I'm not saying to be holier than thou, to put yourself on a pinnacle for people to admire. But Christians act differently in response to the teaching and example of Christ. And at one point, someone's going to ask, why do you do the things that you do? And if no one ever asks you that question, I hope they don't say in the future when something comes up, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. We should be able to articulate who we are in Christ and why we do what we do. When Jesus said we are to love him, he included the mind. We are to love him with our mind. I said repentance is more than sorrow for sin. It's the sanctification of the mind. It's the mind being made holy. If we get the mind right, we get our actions right. And so we have to love the Lord with our whole mind. That's why I put in the Sunday bulletin, usually on page 2, a reflection on the Sunday gospel reading as a help for meditation. It's not the only help that's out there, but it's there. And I also include a relevant quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Now, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in the 400 paragraph there, talks about four reasons for the purpose of the incarnation, the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary solely by the power of the Holy Spirit and came to dwell among us. You may not remember all four that I say, but take hold of at least one of them, for it can help us to articulate who we are in Christ and why do we do the things that we do. For the purpose of the incarnation also informs the purpose of our identity as followers of Christ within the fellowship of his church. The first purpose of the incarnation is redemption. Liberating humanity from sin and death. That's why Jesus came into the world. Fellowship with God was broken, and God wanted that fellowship to be restored. God takes the initiative. He never gives up on us. And so identified with Christ, the purpose of our identity is to be redeemed, is to continue to undergo the process of conversion, to die to sin, to die to the invitation to sin, to embrace life-giving actions as the Lord teaches us. Why do we do the things that we do? Because God is redeeming me. And I thank him by the way I am striving to die to sin and live for God. And when you say that, you're telling them already you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we're undergoing the process of being perfected by our God who loves us. And that's the second reason that Jesus came into the world, according to the Catechism, around the 400, the paragraphs marked for in the 400s. He came for revelation, to reveal God's love for us in the flesh. In the flesh. So we see in the flesh, God interacting with humanity and seeing how we should interact with God and with one another. Christianity does not only involve placing faith in Christ as the Son of God who has come to save us, it then has implications on how we will live. It cannot just be an intellectual assent. It must be intentional actions that flow from that. And so, as I receive the love and mercy of God in my life, I'm called to be a sign of God's love and mercy in the lives of others. Just as God's love is revealed in a unique way through the Son of God becoming one like us, God in the flesh, that's what incarnation means, God raises us up so that people can see what it means to be a Christian in the flesh. To show our love intentionally, such as we have done in the Advent Works of Mercy, by the grace of God, through our food pantry and the Advent Giving Tree, we benefited 73 households and 132 children over the past 2 days. Intentionally saying it's because of we believe in Christ and we belong to His church that we want to bless you. Love must be shown. Jesus shows that in coming to share in our life and dwelling among us, and He continues to dwell among us in His church. And as members of His church, we're called to be signs of His love and mercy in the lives of others. Why do you do the things that you do? Proclaim your purpose. It's because I've received God's love and mercy that I want to share it with others. If God has blessed me, I want to be a blessing to others. You want to keep Christ in Christmas? It's not just to talk about Christ. It's then to put that into action, such as we have done in our Advent Works of Mercy. You'll have to do it next week. Someone takes your seat, smile at them. Welcome them to Holy Family Church. Someone takes your parking spot, smile at them. Welcome them to Holy Family Church. Some children get a little loud. Don't look at them and scowl. We'll handle it in the right way. But welcome them to Holy Family Church. People want to see, are people striving to practice what they profess? And again, we're not perfect. The pastor's not perfect. But they could see in us our striving to advance on the way of faith. Why do we do the things that we do? We're being redeemed, liberated from sin and death. And I want to embrace life-giving actions as taught by my Lord because I've received His love and mercy. And therefore, I demonstrate that in my actions, for He has revealed Himself to me in the flesh, God sharing in our humanity. What's another purpose for the incarnation? It's reconciliation. Jesus came into the world to reconcile us to God. And so, in what ways can we promote what is reconciling? In what ways can we contribute to the healing of the wounds of sin and division in society instead of irritating those wounds? Some of us may say, well, that's kind of hard. Well, Jesus shows us in the nails in His hand and in His feet and in the wound in His side that indeed it is. Indeed it is. But love invites us to make sacrifices that benefit others. Why do you do the things that you do? Because I'm being reconciled with God. And He's appointed me to promote reconciliation within the human family. And therefore, I'm not going to contribute to the polarization that exists in the community. I'm going to act differently. Jesus is at the center of my life, not a politician, not a cable news network, not a social media influencer. Jesus is at the center of who I am and what I'm about. And he wants me to contribute to the healing of society, not to the wounding of society. The Lord came to redeem us. The Lord came to reveal God's love to us in a unique way. The Lord came to reconcile us to God and to promote that within the human family. The Lord also came to raise us to a new and everlasting life that begins now, not at the hour of our death. We are people of eternal significance. He has come to share in our humanity so that we can share in his divinity. Doesn't mean we're going to be God now. What that means is he has come to share in our life so that we can share in God's very life. And why does God want to share his life and love with us? Because that is why he created us. Love created us to be in fellowship with him. And when that fellowship was broken, in love, God wants to do everything possible to restore that fellowship. God calls us to be like John the Baptist, to invite people to prepare the way of the Lord, and to say that this way is for them. Are we prepared to articulate why we believe what we believe? The Lord's not looking for someone who can get a theological degree to answer that. The Lord is looking for people who are not ashamed to articulate that by their interaction with him in daily mass, through prayer, through scripture, through works of mercy, and the other means of grace. Just as John the Baptist was not afraid to be distinctive, we cannot be afraid to be distinctive. And it doesn't point to us. It points people to Christ.